Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Topically yours on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. And I'm Deirdre Schuler, your host, coming to you from New York. Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but it feels like the year has sped by very quickly. Already we're in December, and you know what? We're getting ready for the upcoming Christmas holiday. That's only about 6 days before we welcome in a new year. And this is a time of year for family. Well, you know, all year round is time for family, but in December we usually reach out to our larger family and on occasion to the world at large as we let folks know we love them and remember them. It's also a festive time and a time many of us like to hear music, holiday music and otherwise. Well, my guests today comprise a family, a mother and daughter team, who also happen to love music. In fact, they love music so much they perform it, and they'll be performing it on Friday, December 16th at 7 p.m. at Aaron Davis Hall in Manhattan as part of the Melba Joyce and Carmen Bradford My Mother and Me Holiday Celebration. Aaron Davis Hall is located at Convent Avenue and 135th Street on the campus of the City College of New York. So I encourage folks to call for tickets at 212-650-6900, or you can also go online at www.adhatccny.org. And Melba Joyce and Carmen Bradford are with me this evening.
Yes, how are you? Merry Christmas. Hey,
thank
how you.
You. And well, how are you, ladies?
Hello.
And I hope that you can tell us more about your upcoming event.
Yeah, we're going to have a great time. We've done this show before without the holiday spirit. And once in Texas last year, it was a great success. We had a wonderful time. You know, when families get together and sing, it's always a special occasion. And so we had a lot of fun, and we're adding the holiday spirit to it now. This is
Melba.
Well,
someone told me this was the first time that both of you sang together, but is that not true, or is the first time you sang together in New York?
This is the first time in New York.
Ah, okay. And that was Melba Joyce talking or Carmen Bradford?
Yeah, that was me talking. It's Melba talking, but it's sometimes very hard to differentiate our speaking voices and sometimes our singing voices. They're just almost identical. But almost identical. This is Carmen speaking, and it's almost like us. It's really done great things for me. I can con people on the phone. It's really, really a cool feature.
Well, I heard that you come from a musical family and a musical background because I understand your dad, Melvin Moore, also sang jazz. And did he tour and record with Dizzy Gillespie's big band?
Yes, he did, with Dizzy Gillespie and Lucky Millinder and Don Redman and Ernie Fields and a bunch of folks. He toured. Yes.
So I guess you can't help but sing.
Well, I guess so. Yeah, we all inherited it from my father and my mother and my grandmother and my great-grandmother.
Well, also, one of you, I think it's Melba, you have some acting in your background as well?
Yes, and so did Carmen.
Okay.
But I did have some acting. Yes, I have done some acting. I've been in a couple of movies, about three movies, and I did Broadway.
You did Black and Blue on Broadway?
Yes, I did, and in Europe on the world tour.
Nice. Wasn't Linda Hopkins in that one, too?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. As a matter of fact, I understudied Linda, Carrie Smith, Ruth Brown, and Laverne Baker in that show.
Wow.
When the world tour went on, I became a principal. But I was on about 247 times while we were doing it in New York as an understudy. It was a great thing, wonderful experience.
Well, I was looking at some of the luminaries that the both of you have worked with over the years. You've shared the stage with the greats like Miles Davis and Smokey Robinson. Smokey Robinson when he was with the Miracles, I understand, and Freddie.
No, he had just left the Miracles. And I became one of his first background singers, and then we found another young woman, and then we did do featured stuff, you know, like an opening act a couple of times. That's great.
Well, Carmen, well, I guess both of you did this, but both of you worked with the Count Basie Orchestra for several years?
Yes, I started with him first in 1982. I met Mr. Basie. And then Mom joined the Basie Band in 2005.
Ah.
But I was with Basie, the Count Basie Orchestra, for 9 years and did 1 year with Mr. Basie.
What impact did that have on your career?
Oh, it changed my life, you know. He gave me my wings. You know, I was a student at Houston Phillipson College in Austin, Texas, and singing in a lot of R&B bands. And when I met Mr. Basie, I was the part of the opening act to open the show for the Basie Band. And he was, at that stage in his life, he was already riding on a motorized cart, so he couldn't go downstairs to his dressing room. And so I took a minute and introduced myself and told him that I was part of the opening act for the show, and asked him if he would listen to me when I went out to sing. I also mentioned to him that I noticed he had a male vocalist, and I felt that he'd make millions of dollars if he'd hire me. And he said, "Really, millions?" And I said, "Oh, yeah." So I went out, and I did my two numbers, and I came back off the stage, and I said, "Well, what did you think?" And he said, "Well, I thought it was great. I'm going to hire you." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, when?" He said, "Not now. Somebody will call you. Don't worry me now." And then about 9 months after that, I got a call from him. And I was actually on my way to do an R&B gig in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And the telephone rang, and my roommate said, "You should come back in. There's some old man on the phone." And I thought it was...
an old man on the phone.
Yeah. But I just assumed it was my grandfather calling, and so I went back in. And he said, "Hello." I said, "Hello." And he said, "Is this the little girl that wants to work with me? This is Mr. Basie." And I said, "Is this Otis?" And he said, "Otis." I said, "Otis, you know, I've been waiting for Count Basie to call me." I said, "Don't play on the phone. I'm on my way to New Mexico to do my gig." And so I hung up the phone. I hung up on him. And went back out to the car, and he called back. And I went back in, and I said, "Hello." And he said, "Listen, this is Mr. Basie. Don't hang up again now." He said, "Now, do you want to work with me or not?" And I said, "I'm so sorry. I thought you were my friend Otis." And he said, "Well, this isn't Otis." I said, "Well, when will I start, you know? Thank you so much for calling." He said, "Well, don't worry me now." I said, "Well, you know, you said don't worry me, and that was like 9 months ago." He said, "Well, somebody will call you this week." And I said, "Okay." Well, I said, "Well, I have one more question." And he said, "Well, what is it?" I said, "Well, how much does it pay?" And he said, "Well, what do you care?" I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't want to ask you that, but my father makes me ask that." So he said, "Well,
what
does
he care? Because you're going to bring him millions."
Right, that's right, that's right. So I got the phone call on Wednesday from trumpeter Sonny Cohn, who was the road manager at the time. And Sonny said to me, "Well, bring all of your big band arrangements." And I said, "I don't have any big band arrangements. I sing R&B, you know, Chaka Khan standards and Steely Dan and Rolling Stones tunes." And he said, "Well, just bring your little sequin dresses then, and we'll figure it out." I said, "Well, I wear Levi's and cowboy boots on stage." And he said, "Well, just bring your little suitcase with the rope around it. And we'll figure it out when you get here."
Well, he had a sense of humor.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So Friday came, and all about 30 of my friends met me at the airport to see me off, which I thought was so sweet. And I got to the ticket agent, and there was no ticket for me. So I really thought it was somebody playing a joke. Pardon me. And so all of my friends said, "Don't you going? This must be a mistake. You're going." And they all went to the ATM machine and pulled out enough money to purchase me a round trip ticket. They said, "You're going to go, and then if it is a joke, you just come on home and go back to school." I was thinking to myself, "Oh God, please not that." But I got to go, and they had a reservation for me, and that's how I got started. And that first night I joined them, they were doing a performance with Tony Bennett. So it was
that must have been great.
It was just surreal. It really was, and it just changed my life. And I still miss and adore him very much, very much. He was a wonderful man.
I'm going to treat the audience with your voice that won you that job with Count Basie, and we're going to play Them Their Eyes.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. love with you the first time I looked into them their eyes. You had a certain little cute way of flirting with them their eyes. They make me feel happy. They make me feel so falling no stalling in a great big way for you. My heart's jumping because you started something with your eyes. Hey, little brown eyes is the one. Sparkle, bubble, gets you in trouble. Hey, baby, your eyes. Fell in love with you the first time I looked into your eyes. Had a certain little cute way of flirting with your eyes. They make me feel happy. Make me feel blue, falling, no stalling in a great big way for you. My heart's jumping, baby, baby, it's your eyes. Look out, little brown eyes, if you're wise. Sparkle, bubble, gets you in trouble.
Golden Harp after Peter the Great's daughter, the Empress Elizabeth,
And I sang Summertime with an arrangement that was based on Gil Evans' arrangement that he did with Miles Davis on that. And I also did Sin in the Clown. So they're kind of jazz, you know, jazz-based things. They had jazz changes. And
well, are the Russians big jazz fans?
Yes, they are. They really are. There's some wonderful jazz coming out of Russia. They really do. And the Eastern Europe also. They're playing the real jazz in Eastern Europe, in France, I guess, you know. I guess Germany also, but the Eastern Europeans are really, really singing some wonderful jazz and performing wonderful jazz.
And I thought I saw somewhere that you sang in Beijing as well.
Yes, I was there for the United Nations Conference on Women. I've done some work with children, and I had written a peace anthem for children. I have it in about 10 languages, and I'm looking forward to having it in 100 languages for children, because the adults seemed like they want to fight, so I figured if I just targeted the song. Actually, I didn't really figure anything. It just came to me, like most of my music that I compose comes to me, you know, in the middle of the night, like a new baby, a newborn baby. And this song is just a basic song about the rights of people and love and getting along and us sharing the sun, so why can't we share everything else, you know, that kind of a thing. It's an anthem. It's a peace anthem for kids.
Well, speaking of language, go ahead.
What I did was I did address one of the groups there at the United Nations Conference on Women in Beijing, and I used that song for the basis for my speech, for my presentation. I used the song for that.
Well, I also want to ask Carmen, because I saw that you mentioned language, and I saw that she sang for Black Orchid, a song in Portuguese.
Yes.
How was that?
It was challenging for the first 20 minutes that I was learning to speak it. I just sang that in Portuguese. I don't speak the language. But I was taught by Dori Karimi, the gentleman who I recorded that with, the great Dori Karimi, the Brazilian composer, arranger, brilliant singer, and just incredible guitarist in person, just a wonderful human being.
Have you ever been to Brazil? Because I did a show about Brazil with some folk, and everyone says it's just such a lovely place to go.
It is lovely. It's beautiful. The people are beautiful. Great music. Great music.
You know, a lot of people don't realize they speak Portuguese. They keep thinking Spanish, but it's completely different than...
Yes,
it is. Well, I guess if you speak Spanish, you can understand a little Portuguese.
Well, I don't know.
Who was honored at the National Jazz Museum in Harlem?
Oh, I was. When they first opened. Yes, Melba. This is Melba.
No, congratulations. Yes. When they first opened, that's been a while.
Thank you. Yes, a few years. Yes, yeah, it's a bright light here in Harlem. It really is to have the museum here. It's a wonderful establishment and a wonderful great place that is preserving the music and getting all the stories straight the way they're supposed to be told and the songs the way they're supposed to be sung. Everybody's getting their own credit for what they've done in the music. So it's wonderful. It really is.
Well, you're quite the humanitarian, I must say, because you also did something called Jazz for Special People. Who were the special people?
They were developmentally challenged people. And
okay.
I did that over in Los Angeles. I did three concerts, one at Memorial Park in Pasadena, the other in MacArthur, the famous MacArthur Park in Los Angeles, and a Memorial Park out in Santa Monica. And it was very interesting. I don't know, I'm all over the place, I guess, as far as art is concerned and music is concerned, and wherever I can take it, I do.
A cause is attached to it as well.
Yeah, it does give it more depth, more meaning. Yes, nothing like a great song, but when you attach those other things to it, because all songs are attached to something anyway.
Exactly. Well, there are stories set
exactly.
to music, I would say.
We're just trying to tell the story.
Exactly. And it's always lovely when one can hear it so musically.
Yeah, it is. I enjoy
and
it.
And so many different genres of music.
Yes, they are, aren't they? We've just come into a multicultural thing, a global mixture of music that's really something. You know, you hear the hip-hop and the Indian, East Indian beat. It's just one of the most magical things, you know, next to the Brazilian beat, the samba. It's just a magical thing. I love it very much.
Well, isn't it interesting, world music, all the different instruments that people play? You know, even a pot can sound musical if you know how to play it well.
Exactly. Yeah, I've heard them, kids in Times Square playing on the plastic cans. It can't be a can and a plastic, but a plastic pot with sticks or drumsticks. I used to see the kids doing that.
Mhm.
Yeah.
And Carmen, do you teach music?
I not as much as I used to. I taught in the vocal jazz department at the University of Southern California and at UC Irvine in California, but I teach individual instruction occasionally. I'm working a lot on the road, so I don't have a lot of time to teach much right now.
Well, speaking of being on the road, is this appearance at Aaron Davis Hall part of being on the road, part of a tour that you're on?
No, not yet, but we hope this will lead to further engagements across the world and hopefully on Broadway.
That'd be lovely.
It would be nice. It would be nice. You never know. But after I leave on Saturday morning after the show, I have a concert with the Knoxville Jazz Orchestra. I'm doing a Christmas concert. And then getting ready for New Year's, I'm with the Fort Worth Symphony on New Year's Eve with the great Jeff Tysik conducting and just moving right along.
And what about you, Melba?
Well, I'm going to be doing some gigs around New York, mostly private things. But I was out of – I teach myself. I teach at Queens – I'm on call it. Queens College to teach vocal jazz, and I've been doing private lessons. But this summer I recorded in Europe at the Intonen Jazz Festival in Diersbach, Austria, and also appeared at the Porgy and Bess Music Club.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Where is it? Vienna. Yeah, and
now,
recorded.
When you say you recorded, can we expect a CD out?
Yes, I thought that it would have been out by now, but I'm sure we're going to hear from it in the next 2 or 3 months.
All right. Does it have a name yet?
I don't know. It doesn't have a name. I don't know the name yet. I'm not doing that part of it. The technical part of it is being done by Paul Zorner, who was a producer and a trombone player from Austria, Germany.
Oh, we'll be looking forward to that.
Oh,
now, what can we expect at Aaron Davis Hall? I mean, is it you're doing jazz and Christmas tunes or what?
Yes, we are. We're doing duets and Christmas songs, and we're doing just fun stuff, some very, very fun things. I think everybody's going to enjoy it. It's unusual for us. You know, they haven't heard us, like we said, on the East Coast, like they did down in Texas when we were there. It was wonderful. Yeah, you know,
nice.
People love to hear families sing together. I guess the voices are so close, and ours are so close. One day I was at Carmen's house, and this music was on, and I said, I don't remember recording that. And I said, that's not me.
That's funny.
Yeah,
funny you when
know.
You don't even recognize your own voice. That's pretty good.
A kid, you know, they're with you all the time, and they hear you inside. When they're inside of you, they hear you, and you're carrying them, and then they hear you when they come out. And, I mean, that's that voice that they hear, and they it's a part of them, and the DNA, of course. In other words, I've just stolen a lot of ideas from her. No, she has her own style. She's got a much more soulful, she's a little grittier, a little greasy. I might be grittier, but I stole all the basics that I wanted to steal because they were just so awesome. Yes, I took them. Yes, I'm admitting to that. You'll see on Friday night. The lady stands on her own. I'm very proud of that. Very, very proud of it.
Well, it sounds like you guys are a good team. You got a good sense of humor.
Yeah, she's the one. She is the joker. I tell you, this kid is she's a comedian. Comedienne. She can really get
a good You don't mind her stealing a tune or two?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm proud of her. Trust me, honey. I'm going to steal all of it. Okay? She's coming to sing, so get ready for an awesome show. It's going to be great. Really, really great. And bring your handkerchief, because we only have so much Kleenex for those moments.
Oh, how lovely is that? Well, I'm going to share your voice, Melba, with the audience. In fact, it's just in time.
Okay. Wonderful.
Just in time, I found you just in time. Before you came, my time was running low. I was lost, but I losing guys were gone. My bridge is all was warm, nowhere to go. Now you're here, and now I know just where I'm going. No more doubt or fear, I found my way. Came just in time, found you just in time.
Show, but I got two pairs of tickets to give away if people are listening and want to call in. And first come, first serve, you can call 914-338-0695 for your concert Friday night at 7 p.m. And that is the name of your concert is My Mother and Me Holiday Celebration.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. And so we're like whetting people's appetite with some of the music tonight. And, of course, I'm not saying they're going to sing these particular songs, but whatever they sing, you got a flavor of how they're going to sound.
Got the flavor, huh?
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me about the Essentially Ellington project.
Essentially Ellington? Oh, that's the project where Winton brings in students that have competed.
By Wynton, you mean Wynton Marsalis?
I'm sorry, yes. I sound like I'm name dropping, huh?
Well, you know him.
That's right, that is true. My goodness, it's been such a long time, but they're brought in from across the United States, I believe. They've competed to come to New York and to record with him.
Is that part of the Jazz at Lincoln Center?
Yes, it is.
Situation?
Yes, it is.
Because he's very involved in that, helping young students. I think they even have classes up there.
Yes, I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that.
And it's quite. Have you been in the club there? Club Coca-Cola?
I performed it in the club. I did. Well, I should say, sort of performed. I went to rehearsal. I was performing with the Diva Jazz Orchestra, and then lost my voice. It was just the worst feeling. But the wonderful thing about that was that my mom was in town, and she came down and subbed for me, and they loved her, so it was great. But thank
well,
goodness
as you
she
say,
was
it was
there.
Just like you singing.
Yes. That is a blessing, honey. You have no idea. It really, really is. And she knows all of my arrangements, all of my big band charts, so that helps a lot, too.
Well, I'm going to touch on your mother's heart again, because I think it was your mother, because, as I said before, she seems quite the humanitarian or involved in projects like that. And were you the one that sang with the troops, for the troops?
I sang for the troops with the USO, yes. I did sing for the troops with the USO. I sure did. It was a wonderful experience for me to be able to do it. It was a dangerous thing. I didn't realize, you know, I guess anytime you go into a war zone, it's dangerous. You know, they're going to be commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War next year. And so we're getting ready to really, pay homage to those guys who gave their lives and who were really involved in that war. And I'm looking forward to moving around with that USO tour, the Vietnam War tour.
So, and where will they be going?
They're going to do a USO in the USA, across the USA.
Oh, in the USA, okay.
And they asked me if I was available, and I told them yes. I haven't heard from them lately, but I'm looking forward to it if they should call me, you know.
Well, what was it like when you went there working, singing with for the soldiers? Were they just so happy to see somebody from home?
Yes, it was 1969, and they were very happy to see somebody from home. That's the whole idea of those USO shows, is that they can see people who remind them of their mother, their sisters, their aunts, you know. And so I just felt like I was bringing a letter from home. And it was a wonderful experience to be able to be there for them. I have about 50 pictures. I was thinking about making a picture book and putting it out for people to see what a great time we had. I have pictures of me sitting in the mud, them singing with me, dancing, me having a great time.
Yeah, that's a wonderful memory and part of history.
Yeah, it is.
You definitely have that out in the book that's a part of history that, you know, and people forget that war is ugly, and people go out there and give their lives every day, and that's braver than most.
Yeah.
I don't know if somebody would call on me to give my life.
Yeah, they
do it.
They're really brave and courageous, and we should all be very grateful that they were there fighting for us, you know.
Indeed, and I hope that President Obama, will bring the soldiers home.
Yes, well, that's what he promised he would do, and looks like he's going to do it. It's a very important thing, because a lot of times politicians don't get to keep their promises for one reason or another. They don't. But he's bringing them on back. You know, you have to, after a while, I suppose, let people really fend for themselves. You know, you can't just be there for everybody all the time. You know. I'm very happy they're coming back home. I really am.
Well, speaking of that, I'm gonna play Home with You.
Okay, that's a great song. Yes, great.
Here we go.
Okay.
Home with You by Carmen Bradford. Beautiful or what?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, ladies, we got 90 seconds left in the show.
Oh.
I know. Doesn't it go by quickly?
So quickly.
And I wanted to again mention that Malva Joy Bradford will be at Aaron Davis Hall for their My Mother and Me holiday celebration. And Aaron Davis Hall, by the way, is at Convent Avenue and 135th Street on the campus of the City College of New York. And you can call in for tickets at 212-650-6900 or go online at www.adhattccny.org. And I want to thank the ladies for coming on this evening and sharing their talent and their fun, because you are lovely ladies and much fun.
Oh, thank you so much. It was lovely, lovely doing this with you. Thank you so much for having us. We look forward to seeing you.
Oh, yes. Thank you. And I plan to be there, so I'll see you.
And Merry Christmas.
Okay. Well, as I said, the evening has grown nigh, and I want to thank Malva Joyce and her daughter Carmen Bradford for spending this time with me on Blake Radio Rainbow Soul. And it's been my pleasure to get to know them both. And this is Deirdre Shuler wishing you all a very happy holiday and a Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah too. And I wish the best of the loving spirit of this season. And I thank my listeners for making my topic topically yours. And, well, we're going to end the show with Malva Joyce singing Let Me Go as they go. Good night.
Never let me go.
Oh, never let me go, I should say.
Love me much too much. If you let me go, life would lose its touch. What would I be?
place for me.
Topically Yours on the Blake Radio Network.